Let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. On the phone line with us here at Illinois Public Media is Jackie Vakes for this 22nd day of January 2014. She's with Stuart Peterson from Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start this afternoon with the corn. You wrote me a note and said it looks to be rather range-bound at the moment.
Yeah, rather boring, I think. You know, when you look at least on old crop corn, 420 to 440, you know, if we break out of that range, I would say $4 is probably in the game and $4.50 possibly on the high side. You know, it's a tough one. That 445 and three quarters is going to be a very difficult number to get through, but I do think that we might have a chance to be able to do it. Deese, on the other hand, put a double top in with yesterday's at 449. So, you know, the question will be, will tomorrow follow through and hold that or not? We don't know. I am going to bounce back to March a little bit too, Todd. We did come in here on the daily chart and actually, you know, touch a trend line, a long-term trend line, and that kind of gives us a little bit of support on that March too. You know, right now corn is just the feed of choice for livestock. So I think, you know, when you look at the activity in terms of demand for corn is good. You know, yesterday China came out and said, no, we're not going to stockpile anymore. Today they came out and said, oh, we're going to buy more corn, and clarified that the stockpiling or the lack of is going to go on just in a few places. And we saw Japan come in and actually buy 105 million metric tons for new crops. So, you know, the corn market is just poised and waiting, basically, to find out what export numbers are for tomorrow. When we look at exports, tomorrow will be the first time that we'll really see the export numbers that reflect the higher level that we went after the report. And so I think all of us are just waiting to see once what that has to say. If it's not good, then I guess we'll probably go back down and test the 420 again.
So what's not good? What number would be not good for tomorrow's export figure?
Well, I'd have to say I haven't seen any estimates out yet, but the estimates of late have been fairly high. And so I think anything that comes in below the estimates would be considered not good. If it's way below the estimates, then we might really test that 420 level.
Turn your attention to Argentina yesterday, and I was out of the office in Mount Vernon for one of the corn and soybean classics. By the way, if you were scheduled to be at the iHotel for the corn and soybean classic, that's next week on January the 28th. Kind of hard to believe that twice in one year we nearly got canceled in Mount Vernon in southern Illinois because of rough weather, but it was a bad day yesterday. On the beans, though, they had rainfall in Argentina yesterday, and it seemed to really just wreak havoc in Chicago.
Well, it did, and, you know, I think we have to put things in perspective. We gained 38 cents on beans last week. You know, when you look at that, would you not expect to see some major profit-taking come in? I don't think it was a big surprise. Today was interesting. We tested the long-term uptrend from November 2011 at that 1272 level. We bounced off of it, but we've got to find ourselves closing above 1280 again to expect that we're going to make any kind of a move upside. Now, when you look at the export sales on beans, Todd, it's pretty interesting. Inspections, we've already shipped 71% of all the exports that we've sold, and that's at only 37% of the crop year. So, and then you add on to that that the sales are way over what the USDA has for expectations. So I think that, you know, there's a good argument there that we should see the higher side again. You know, you look at the volatility in beans, though. That's the thing that people have to really recognize. You know, yesterday, again, China said no stockpiling. Today they came back and they buy more. You know, that volatility is going to be there, and it's going to be there for a long time. Argentine rains not only affected things, but the fact that the Argentine strike was called off after only about 6 hours. And Argentina actually met with what they call the Paris Club, which is where the majority of their debt, they have $100 billion in debt there, to renegotiate that. And, you know, they've been kept away from the money ever since 2000, 2001, when they actually tipped over the government down there. So this would be an interesting thing, too, to find out if they can actually get some of their debt under control and get the inflation under control. But I look at November beans, Todd, and, you know, November beans are just also looking for direction. The big thing we've got is 1129 as a high. So far this week we've made 1128 with 1095 as a bottom. I think that we'll just continue to look back and forth in that range until we know more about what we're going to actually do from a planting standpoint.
Come back to the old crop for me very quickly. You mentioned that we were 71% shipped. You know, how far along are we normally 71%, and we're, what, not quite 40% of the way, as you mentioned, through the marketing year.
Right.
But necessarily, things tend to turn to South America and other places to gather beans as new crops come in. Do you think 71% is ahead or behind of schedule? Does it make much difference at this time?
It's not too far off from what we were doing last year, and that's the concerning part, because we do know that, you know, things really slowed down, and that had a negative impact. So in normal years, we would never be this far ahead. So we know that we're doing front-loading again, and a lot of that is related to China. China's the big taker of beans. There's just no two ways about it. And so I think that that's something that everybody has to be aware of, especially guys who are sitting on old crop beans. If you get another chance, and that's a big if, I think it can happen, but you had better either be putting some puts in place or making some sales. And, you know, I'm hearing some pretty good basis prices both in corn and beans right now. So I think that it's important that you look at that, too. I've talked to some guys who've actually locked in a really good basis contract and are now just waiting for the bounce to come back.
In the wheat market, it's been really cold, and even here in Illinois, Madison County, which is the number one soft red winter wheat producer in the state, has been very cold, although we've had quite a bit of snow cover.
We have, and there's less concern about the soft red wheat, of course, because of the stocks that we've got on it, than there is about the KC wheat. And the KC wheat's got two things that are working against it. Number one, they've had a brutal winter out there, too, and the brutality of their winter has been more related to extremely cold and then sudden breaks in the cold and a little bit warmer, which is really tough on wheat, but it's the ongoing drought that they've got out there, too. You know, this wheat was not planted in perfect condition, and so when I look at the continuous charts, Todd, on old crop, we should have good support here at the 560 level, and new crop should be at the 570 level for soft red. So it's going to be interesting. We've seen a little bit of lifting of the record short positions. And I think if, let's say, Brazil would come in and actually lift the import tax like they've been talking about, and or China comes in, they've been hinting that they may buy some wheat, we could see a nice bounce back off of this. We've got some very good technical as well as some fundamental strength here. And so I think that too lent support to corn, which is definitely what it needs.
In the livestock, we better talk about the cattle. They just keep going up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, today was really a wild day. You know, we hit limit up on February, basically on all new record cash prices. We actually saw 1,000 head of cattle in Texas and 1,000 head of cattle in Kansas traded $1.47 cash on a 60 to 65% grade. Now, mind you, those are really, really good cattle. But it doesn't make a difference. This is a whole new record. Now, I think that I said to you earlier, we need to draw some analogies here between the cattle market and its performance and perhaps the corn market. Because when you look at the cattle market and you look at the choice select ratio, meaning that we've got a lot of green cattle standing in the lots right now versus the choice, and yet they're doing things that fundamentally says not possible. How often do we get Wednesday purchases of beef? Not very often, mostly it's Thursdays or Fridays. So I would suggest on the grain side of things, you better be prepared for anything. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, we've had some pretty decent opportunity here to get calls into place just in case this market turns and goes the opposite direction. And it can. Now, am I saying lift hedges? Absolutely not. I'm going to look to see to lift hedges, but I want some more definite information from this market before I want to do that. But I do think it makes sense to get yourself in a position where you could see this market take a bounce. And if you've got some calls in place, you got the guts to be able to make the sale because you know you've got ongoing interest in it. Because in the cattle market, believe me, all those guys were sitting back and nobody was buying calls, I can tell you that. They didn't believe that this market could go back above that 138 high. And it has just literally kicked the socks out of everybody, and the margin calls have kicked the socks. That's why it's another good reason, you know, buy a straight call and not find yourself or buy a straight put perhaps and be prepared. But packer margins are 2.5-year highs, so we'll see once what Cattle on Feet says on Friday.
Hey, thanks so much, Jackie.
You betcha. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. When we come back, we'll take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon.